What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
$3,646,245 is where we are at as of 1 o'clock here on Jones and Keefe, day 2, 23rd annual WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon presented by Arbella Insurance. We've gotten some great contributions here today. We highlighted the more than $58,000 from Massachusetts and Rhode Island Applebee's. Big thanks to TJ Busey and his crew who were just in here. Another special shout-out for the $10,000 gift from Rockport Mortgage. Updating those totals, Keith, we are closing in on. I don't want to make any promises.
No.
But with your help out there, by donating toll-free at 877-738-1234, we could close in on the highest total we've ever done.
The all-time record?
During this telethon, the all-time record was $4.9 million. Way back in 2008.
2008.
So if you want to set some records.
That was a year after winning a World Series.
That probably did help. Yeah. But no Jones and Keefe then, so you never know.
That's a good point.
If you want to set some records, toll free, 877-738-1234. You can donate online, jimmyfund.org, or you can text KCANCER to 56512 to give any amount. And we've referenced some big totals in there, but legitimately any amount can contribute towards that. So we encourage you to continue to do that. We're going to check in with Lou Maloney coming up at 1:30. Lucas Giolito of the Boston Red Sox at 1:45. But joining us right now is Tracy Ryle, nurse manager, pediatric oncology at the Jimmy Fund. Thank you, Tracy, for joining us again on the telethon. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate being on.
What can you tell us about what your role as the nurse manager at the Jimmy Fund, what does that entail day to day?
Yeah, so I was an infusion nurse in the Jimmy Fund Clinic since 2012 and just took over this role about a year ago. And I work really closely with the nurses in both the infusion room and the procedure room and all throughout the clinic just to kind of, you know, balance the flow of patients coming through, help the nurses with any issues that arise and try to support them in their growth as nurses.
And it just seems like how important it is the whole team working together, right? And just, you know, and treating everybody in the family as well. And it just seems that everybody that we've talked to in all different roles just works so well together.
We really do. Between the providers and the nurse practitioners and, you know, the nurses, the clinical assistants, the child life specialists, we are, you know, one team and really value family-centered care because this is a place that no one wants to come to. You know, no one pictures this is where I'm going to be. But unfortunately, they have to, and we really work really hard to make sure that they're supported, you know, from the moment they get here, from when they arrive to the parking garage, all the way through their chemotherapy treatment and beyond is the goal for making sure they're comfortable when they're here.
It's our understanding one of your favorite things of working at the Jimmy Fund Clinic is when former patients come back and visit. What's that like?
Oh, my gosh. It's just the best. You know, I had someone yesterday that came in and you see them when they come in and they're deer in headlights when they come, of course, because like I said, this is somewhere you don't want to be. And to see them from initial diagnosis to treatment when they're, you know, sometimes not feeling great, to having them come back and to grow with us throughout the years. And now this, the boy that came in yesterday is a sophomore in college. I took care of him when he was 7. And he was sick and now he's thriving and loving life. And every time you see them, they're just giving you updates on normal kid stuff. And that there's just nothing better.
What's the reaction you get when you tell people where you work and what you do?
Usually a little bit of horror. You feel a little bit of, oh, and it's like a buzzkill almost sometimes when you see people, you do what? But then I just explain, like, there is a lot of sadness and there's a lot of sad stories and, you know, things you hate to see and people going through these unbelievable journeys that you're so sorry they have to go through, but there's miracles that happen every single day in that place. And, kids that beat this. And more often, you know, you see these success stories and you couldn't do it without having those happy times and seeing those miracles happen every day.
So we're closing in on last year's total. I think, you know, $4.9 million is within reach if people continue to donate 877-738-1234. You can text KCANCER to 56512 to give any amount. Where does that money specifically go? Like, from your perspective, when you're there at the Jimmy Fund, how do you guys utilize these funds coming in?
You know, if I look back on my career as a nurse from, 2012 until now in the Jimmy Fund Clinic, the changes that have been made due to research is incredible. Some of the diagnosis that patients had back then, it's curable now. So I really think that just seeing that money go towards phase one studies and new treatments for patients, and then, you know, helping with symptom management, it's just so important to donate to get these new drugs out there for kids, because, you know, the research isn't there for pediatrics as much as it is for adults at times. And I think just for that, for us to continue to help kids fight this battle, and adults too. You know, it's not just for pediatrics, it's telethon. We need research for everyone.
Well, and cancer touches everyone's lives, as we know and as we talk about, and obviously you're no stranger to that as well. What can you tell us about your mom?
Yeah, so about a year after I started the Jimmy Fund Clinic, my mom was diagnosed with stage 4 colorectal cancer. And at the time of diagnosis, it was pretty widespread. And unfortunately, she passed away 18 months after diagnosis. And colorectal cancer is one of those things that, for the most part, you can catch if you have routine screenings. And I didn't really realize the extent of the fear my mom had of medical procedures and of medicine in general. And so, unfortunately, she was having a lot of symptoms unbeknownst to me that she kind of ignored, and didn't get those routine colonoscopies done. And, you know, she went on therapy and gave the good fight and didn't make it. But something that resonates with me so much is that she said, "I feel so safe here." And she would tell me over and over again, and from someone that was had such fear of providers, not fear of them, but fear of medicine, to coming and sitting in that chair and getting her chemo and just putting on a warm blanket and feeling so safe with her doctors and her nurses just speaks volumes to the adult world too. You know, I think I see it in pediatrics every day, but they made her feel calm and safe, and they took care of her so well every single day. And, you know, I kind of thought, you know, she's been gone a little over 10 years, and how could I honor her? And I think maybe if someone heard this story and said, you know, maybe I know someone that's, you know, having some symptoms like maybe constipation, some bleeding, you know, some fatigue. And I really haven't had a colonoscopy, and, you know, I'm 58, like my mom was, maybe I should go. And if one person hears that and gets a routine screening and they catch something early, and they can live to see their grandchildren and they can, live a healthy life, that was a great way to honor her. And so I'm hoping that maybe someone hears this today and says, you know, I'm going to have this done. And if they have to, just know that you will be safe and you will be cared for at Dana-Farber, because it's across adults, it's across pediatrics. Everyone's mission is family-centered care and to just really care for patients and their families.
Well, I think that's helpful to hear in a lot of different ways, not just to remember your mom, but I think that's pretty common, right? From just fears of, oh, if I go to the doctor, I'm going to get bad news. Yeah. I don't want to go to that, even things that are more extreme than that. So I just think anecdotally from what we hear, that's fairly common. But would you agree that's a pretty common fear for a lot of people maybe that are hesitant to get a screening or what have you?
Of course, it's the what ifs. And sometimes it's good news. You know, it's something that, oh, I just have to have, you know, more frequent, they're going to watch me more frequently. But sometimes it is bad news and you do have to go through treatment. But with research and with especially having Dana-Farber and, you know, in our backyard in Boston here, there's so many treatments that are available, and coming and getting those screenings and listening to your body is the first step.
How incredible is it to watch, you know, maybe what everything looked like when you first arrived there, when you first started working, to where it is now, just all the advancements that they've made?
Oh my gosh. Like, the patients the treatment that they get for some of these diseases, with these phase one studies, they're living longer lives. And I get to see so many patients come back and, visit, and they're healthy and they're happy. And there's just really, truly nothing better.
Well, you can continue to donate toll-free, 877-738-1234, online, jimmyfund.org, or you can text to give any amount. Text KCANCER to 56512. Tracy, thank you for joining us again.
Thank you so
on
much
the telethon.
Me.
We appreciate it, and you're doing doing great work day-to-day, but also specifically helping us out here during these 2 days, so we really appreciate it.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right. We will continue here on day two, 23rd annual WEEI NESN Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon presented by Arbella Insurance. A reminder that every gift, no matter the size, does make a difference in the lives of adults and children being treated at Dana-Farber. 87 cents on every dollar raised supports patient care and research for children and adults at Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. We're closing in on last year's total already. We're at $3.6 million and gaining. It was nearly $4 million last year. It's $74 million over the first 22 years, now year 23 of this telethon. So continue to give there. Nick has a trending update for you, and we'll come back with Craig Berkson next.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Day two rolling on here. 23rd annual WEEI NESN Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon presented by Arbella Insurance. You see the tote board there on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. $3,646,245. Continue to donate toll-free, 877-738-1234. Oh, we're checking off some of the states there. We updated
some
states.
Oh, yeah, we're filling in the states. Yep, looks like the Big East is all set. Most of the ACC, some of the old Pac-12.
Yep.
Big 12, though, Jones, I don't like. Middle of the country, pretty quiet. Nevada, still no Nevada? Sorry, we're chipping away, though.
Yeah,
I think yesterday we closed out pretty strong.
Well, and this, just if you're watching, some of these states were checked yesterday. This was reset for
this
day
two. This
is
day two. Yeah.
So we're going to need you to come out and perform for day two. You can donate online, jimmyfund.org. You can text KCANCER to 56512 to give any amount. And again, toll-free at 877-738-1234. Lucas Giolito, starting pitcher of the Boston Red Sox, going to join us coming up about one half hour from now at 1:45. But, Keith, we have back-to-back Framingham guests is
nice.
What we have. Lou Merlone going to join us at 1:30. Craig Berkson joining us right now, also from Framingham. Thanks for coming on and joining us here on the telethon today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, Craig, it is an amazing story. What can you share about your story and why you're here with us today on the telethon?
I was diagnosed with cancer over 20 years ago, almost 21 years ago. Have had surgeries, multiple clinical trials. I've been riding the PMC and just kind of fighting it day by day and moving along with my life in parallel. So, Dana-Farber's been awesome and, really helped me kind of stay ahead of it and move forward with it. So it's been an interesting experience and, one I'm happy to share and hopefully raise some money for the cause.
I mean, so over a third of your life, basically, you've been a patient at Dana-Farber, right? So
yeah.
You can really speak to, what it looked like then and how it sort of evolved.
Yeah, I mean, I started well before the Yawkey building was even up, and I watched the, one of the most touching things I remember is when the Yawkey building was going up and the framing on it, if you actually look, the Jimmy Fund Clinic, which is the kids on the third floor,
yeah.
They were actually holding up signs, and the iron workers were spray painting their names into the buildings. You can kind of see it in the stairwells, but it was really kind of cool watching that whole thing go up, and it's such a great facility.
Well, we've toured there a handful of times over the years. Rich and I were there a couple of weeks ago, and yeah, you still see it on the beams inside those staircases going up.
Yeah, but it's really all over there. The kids were just out there, and they'd be cheering and, that kind of stuff. They'd have their IVs with them and stuff. It was really just incredible to watch.
So we were talking a little bit off the air with you, Craig, before we started up, and pancreatic neuroendocrine cancer. What can you tell us about the rarity and the advancements that have happened there recently?
It's a relatively slow growing cancer, but it's definitely one that very uncommon. I think it's one in kind of 10 million kind of thing. The bad news was when I was diagnosed, there was no cure for it, or there was really no treatment for it. The good news was it was relatively slow growing, unlike kind of the pancreatic cancer you hear a lot more about, which is not the same kind of story. Over time, I've seen clinical trials. Some have been good, some have been bad. But I've been on one for coming up on 6 years now, and it actually just got FDA approval. So it's the it's the first treatment that's actually been FDA approved for what I've got. And I've been on it for, you know, 5.5 coming on 6 years now, and you know my tumors are basically kind of at bay, haven't really been growing in that time, and it's been you know, really not a lot of bad side effects, which sometimes is why you got to come off those trials. Sometimes the side effects are pretty bad, but you know, it's really encouraging to see the progress on this. The fact that there were clinical trials starting to come out, now there's one approved. It's really been an interesting journey to watch and watch the science continue to evolve.
Yeah, going back 20 years ago, what was it that even led to the diagnosis? Was it discomfort? Was it something to get checked out? How did you even know?
I had a huge tumor on my pancreas, and it actually caused what looked like an ulcer, and so I passed out because they thought it was like an ulcer because there was bleeding, and it was actually caused by the tumor on the outside. And so they did a Whipple procedure, which I was telling you guys a little before, was kind of the thing Randy Moss just had for something different, but had that surgery, you know, almost 21 years ago now, and so just been dealing with the kind of metastases and other stuff that's come following that. But that was really how I found out. I was actually lucky that happened, because it otherwise it just continues to grow, and that's one of the hard parts with this type of cancer, is a lot of times it doesn't get diagnosed till it's very late.
18th Pan Mass Challenge is what you just completed.
18th Pan Mass Challenge.
That's unbelievable, and that is an incredible event that raises an incredible amount of money. How did you get involved with the Pan Mass Challenge, and what's that experience been like?
When I switched to Dana-Farber about 18 and a half years ago, my wife was kind of researching the doctor that I had, and he was associated with a foundation that was raising money through the PMC, and she's like, you know, maybe you should try this. You kind of like bike riding. I hadn't really ridden a bike in a long time, and now I'm kind of 18 years in. I'm coming up on raising $240,000 over that course
of
time.
Oh, so that's amazing.
That's incredible.
It's such a great ride. There's such camaraderie on it. There's a lot of what they call living proof riders, who are folks who've had cancer or are fighting it now. So it's been a really great experience, and something that really kind of ties a lot of people together, which is great.
It's funny. You said your wife said you sort of like bike riding. That was the description.
I had kind of done it before. We didn't really have a bike.
I just wonder how my wife would describe it. I sort of like. It wouldn't be bike riding. He sort of likes this. He sort of likes that.
You could probably do this.
Yeah. I don't know. Not 18 of them for sure. Like a half of one.
So how are you feeling now, and what is sort of the treatments like today?
The treatments I'm on now, I'm still in that clinical trial. They're still trying it. I take it. It's a pill. It's pills. You know, not really terrible side effects. So I just kind of keep on it. Because of the pancreatic stuff, I've had to kind of deal with kind of a, you know, diabetes as a bit of a side effect, which I'm kind of dealing with on the nutrition side, but. Other than that, feeling pretty good. Just did the Pan Mass Challenge again, so it kind of helps too. It's good to kind of stay in shape and kind of manage weight and just manage kind of fitness from that perspective. So it actually kind of helps with some of the helps kind of some of the treatment strengths and that kind of thing as well. So it kind of helps in both sides.
And just specifically, you know, because people always need to kind of know where the money goes and put a name to the face and see the experience. So when you started at Farber, and you mentioned this, Keith, 20 years ago, your son was 10. Your daughter was 7. Mm-hmm. Your son's now 30 and married, so congratulations
on
that.
Thank you. My daughter's engaged now. That happened since then.
Daughter is engaged, age 28. Yep.
Big expensive wedding for her?
that's not possible, though, without Dana-Farber.
No, I mean, you know, watching the events, I mean, one of the things that, you know, we really try to do is kind of celebrate, you know, occasions large and small kind of thing. You kind of get, you know, really get an appreciation for those kind of things, and just being able to celebrate events, to sit here and go, you know, 21 years out, we're still going to be kind of plugging along on this stuff was, you know, it was tough. I was 39. I'm coming up on 60 now. So it's, it's been a really interesting, you know, kind of experience, and it's just kind of part of it just kind of becomes part of the routine, you know. Every 4 weeks I go to Dana-Farber somebody asked me, like, you know, is this like what you had before, you know, before you were diagnosed? I'm like, I don't remember.
Yeah.
I just don't, you know. So
You're going to the game tonight, sticking around?
Absolutely, going to the game tonight. Looking forward to it.
Very good.
Craig Berkson, we appreciate it. Thanks so much for coming on, sharing your story, and helping contribute to the telethon. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Continue to donate toll-free, 877-738-1234. It's been a minute since I mentioned this. 4.9 back in 2008 is the record for this telethon. If you want to set some records.
We're chasing it.
Yeah, we are. Let's continue to donate. 877-738-1234, jimmyfund.org, or you can text to give any amount. Text KCANCER to 56512. You see there, 3,646,245 and updating it. We're already real close to the total from a year ago, Keith, just shy of $4 million.
I know.
So great work by everybody out there. Somebody who's done tremendous work over the years on this telethon, Lou Merlone. We're going to demote you to the number two celebrity in Framingham after Craig.
Yeah.
But you've spent a lot of time doing these telethons over the years, raising awareness, raising money. What's the experience been like looking back?
Well, you know, first off, you grow up here, so you knew all about it. And then I got to be able to live it as a player, you know, and visit the clinic and be part of that. And then after, I think 2009, Glenn Ordway brought me in here for the first time. You know, and then ever since. I remember because about 3 months later, my son was born. And I would say the next 2, 3, 4 years, you guys know, you have young ones, it changed.
It does, yeah.
Kind of, you know, and you come in here and it's hard, right? You meet the patients, you see the families, you talk to the doctors, you hear what they have to say about it. And you start feeling like you're putting things in perspective. But at the same point, you realize what you're doing, you know, and I did it for what, 15 years, I think, of these telethons and the money that's raised. The stories early on, there was a lot of sad stories. You know, you're interviewing these families going, what are you going to do? And I would say the last 5 years or so, it was doctors were saying, you know, 5, 6 years ago, there was no help. You know, and now because of telethons like this, the money that is raised, they're better endings. And I think I could just see it just in that time. I know, Keith, you've only been doing a little, you know, not as much. I mean, how many years have you been doing?
17 was the first one, 2017.
Yeah.
And like you said, each year is getting a little bit better. Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
It's definitely gotten better. You also get to see, both as a player, but then now also just being around the team, seeing the players interact with the kids is one of the cool things. Some of the players just really take to the kids. Go over there, plenty of like unannounced visits, you know, not trying to be publicized visits, but that's a real special relationship that a lot of the players have.
And they understand that. When they come in, obviously some embrace it. You know, maybe more guys like Brock Holt, what Garrett Whitlock does. I mean, it doesn't really surprise you when you get to know some of the people that get really involved because they're just good humans, you know. But I think they all enjoy it. I think these 2 days here, kind of before the game, they understand that they're coming up here. They're going to be talking to the media, talking on the telethon, and I think they accept it. They're excited for it. Because anytime, even in spring training, when the kids come down, like, it is awesome. Like, some of the players, that's their first introduction to it. And they talk about it for days, like meeting these kids down there and what it means to them, putting a smile on their face.
So I'm trying to remember now. We talked to, at the top of the 11 o'clock hours, Carolyn was on that trip, put on by the Jimmy Fund.
Yeah.
You know, funds from this, and we just updated the tote board. $3,753,057 has been updated. So again, please continue to donate toll-free, 877-738-1234, or you can text to give any amount by texting KCANCER to 56512. But yeah, that's one of the many places where that money goes. And I know, you know, for the ball players, the day off can be kind of a sacred thing, right? And something where, hey, we want to, it's a grueling season, it's a grind, and you get some time off. Maybe it's not always front of mind to go over there and do that, but a lot of these players decide to take their time to do that.
They do. And, you know, even when I was playing sometimes, because it can be hard out there. You know what I mean? Like, guys are in, they're in it for 2 or 3 weeks. They can't find a way out of it. You know, you've got a family at home, but really this is like the focus, and this is your world, and everything sort of evolves around how you perform. And then you take a visit, and it just can change a lot of, you know, your perspective on, like, man, I'm worried because, you know, I'm one for my last 20, you know, and you see what some of these families are going through. I was always amazed at the kids that came walking through here that are battling cancer and have for years, the strength that they have.
Oh, they have a better attitude than, like, all of us. Like, yeah, not even close.
You just sit there and you're like, you know, what kind of life is this person going to live when early on in their lives they faced this challenge, they met it head on, and they've taken this attitude towards it like there's nothing stopping them, you know? And it's just that always amazed me, the kids.
All right, as for the team on the field, yeah. Lou, how are you feeling about it? There's been a couple of tricky bullpen situations here over the last, that's one way of putting it, yeah. over the last few days, whether guys are available, unavailable. The number of guys that you're confident in a big spot is sort of dwindling.
Yeah.
Overall thought on the, specifically the bullpen right now.
The bullpen is leaking. I think that's how I would I would say. And, you know, the high leverage guys, like Witt has been great. You know, he throws a game. Maybe he needs a day. They're still kind of dealing with, he did have surgery last year. But you'd love to have three or four guys at the back end, you know, that you could use to set up Chapman. But when it's only one or two and they get used all the time, you know, like Weissert was fantastic. Right now, he's just sort of fighting it, right? Trying to find it, even though he's been okay. You know, so it's like you're trying to find those guys at the high leverage spot, and that's why Slayton's going to be so important if they can get him back in a week. But I don't know, do you expect him to be lights out right away?
Probably not. Yeah.
It's that back half of the bullpen that's caused some issues, right? Like last night, you keep that thing 2-0, maybe you walk it off. Or you're up 8-1, there's no need to bring in Whitlock and Chapman into those games. And that's happened a few times. So there are some guys, I know Bernardino's back up. There are some guys down in AAA that I've talked to people that are there all the time that think they can truly help. Like the kid Tolley's fastball is like in play. Doesn't matter, lefty, righty, it doesn't really matter.
That's the piglet, right? You've dubbed him the piglet?
The little piglet.
Yeah, piglet would be a good
addition. I do love the pig and the piglet. That's great.
Those piglet work.
The one that fascinates me is Richard Fitz. Like, it's been a wild year for him. Kind of like hurt or not hurt, suspended games, one inning, sent back down. Like, to me, this is like this time of year, you got depth down there with Criswell and Harrison. Like, Fitz, like, what is he like for an inning or two, throwing 98, 99? Like, and this is the time of year I think you start thinking about it.
So I think we have all wrapped our heads around the way they handled Chapman or didn't use him on Sunday. I think we all get it. Do you like it? I mean, do you like that that's where baseball's now at, where you can't go on a third day? Do you think that's a positive advancement, or is that something you look back and say, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, he's going to throw on a third day if the team needs him?
Yeah, I think with him, 37 years old, you know, and he's having a career year. And I think one of the reasons why may be because they haven't used him on 3 days rest, that he hasn't gone an inning and a third, inning and two-thirds, two innings. You know, I think the idea is, I understand you got to get there, right? And Sunday's game was a big game. They're all big games from now on. You got to get there. But when you get there, and if you don't have him, what are we doing? You know, so it's like, it's 35 games left. It's still a lot. And I would say, like, the last week or two of the season, in the postseason, you know, you take the chains off of everybody. And we saw that in the postseason before with how he uses some pitchers. Guys are just out there throwing every day. Nobody has an off day. But in order to be able to do that, I think you still have to kind of be careful. The bottom line is like someone else other than Chapman has to go out there and throw the ball and get outs, right? Like, it's 8-man bullpen. Guys have to do their job, you know, and Whitlock's done a nice job of it. Wilson, Matz has done a nice job, and he just gave up a 2-run homer the other day. So it's just, it's one of those things, but you can't overuse them now. I still think it's too early, even though as important as all these games are.
You more worried about seeding for where they are, or do you think they could fall out of it? Like, do you look at Cleveland as a team that's going to snipe one of these spots, or do you think it's just sort of reordering the three?
I actually, it's funny because I think it was Texas beat Toronto the other day, and I wasn't rooting for that. Like, I want Cleveland, Kansas City, and Texas to go away.
Yeah, you know
what I mean?
Yeah.
And you want the number one seed.
Yeah, right. I think they're such a good home team.
Wild card here, three games, is going to be tough to beat. I almost think you're just at the point where you got to get in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's step one. Like, I've always said, I feel like you're in phase 2016, you know, where you went and got Price and Kimbrel, and you made the playoffs, and you didn't do well.
Right.
And then the next year, you got somebody to go with Price. You know, like this offseason, maybe you get somebody to go with Crochet. And then it still took J.D. Martinez, you know, to kind of get the offense going, and it still took Nate Eovaldi. So it's like a little build. But I want them to get there because I want these young kids to feel it. If it's on the road, so be it. You just want to get in. That's why I'm rooting for those other teams to go away.
Yeah.
Well, and you mentioned the other teams to go away. Is there a team? Yeah, Keith is a big believer in this, and we've seen it in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. If you just get in, you have a good chance to go to a World Series, maybe win a World Series. Is there a team in the American League you look at, and it is head and shoulders better than the Red Sox when they get there, or is it a pretty level field once you make that postseason?
I think Seattle's the best team in the American League. Like, and honestly, in my own mind, I don't know where they're going to end up in the final standings. I don't think it's close, you know, because I think, you know, Brian Wu can match up with just about anybody.
Yeah, they already had the pitching, and then they went out and got back with two or three other guys.
Yeah. And then they come, you know, now all of a sudden it's Suarez and Naylor. I just feel like that is, they finally become what you've been ripping them for not becoming. You know, like you went out and got some offense, you know, because you got Scooble, you got Crochet. You know, you've got these guys, this veterans up in Toronto, but I just, I feel like Toronto can match 1-2-3, you know, can match a 1 and can kind of 2-3 dominate there too. So they're a team I worry about, but I actually worry about Texas.
Yeah, if they got
and they
in.
Just can't get out of their own way.
Yeah, no, they don't. They can't get out of their own way.
No, so I don't know what's going on there.
This is more of a question, I guess, probably for next year. But like, how do you like the logjam in the outfield? Sort of the role of Seydon Rafaela, and even I guess for this year, like, do you want to see him more in center field because of how dynamic he is in center field, or because of need, you got him at second base?
I think they want him in center every day.
Yeah, but
the Marcelo injury really impacted a lot, and it might have impacted a trade deadline. You know, because there was no jam anymore, and there was no need to trade anybody anymore. You know, they want him in center. It's just that right now, I think Romy Gonzalez is a guy that, like, I think if you play him every day, you're going to find him on the IL. You know, I think you got to pick your spots with him and keep doing what you're doing with him. And I think other than that, he's your best option. So it's not perfect. It's because of injury. Yeah. I think he's your center fielder for a long time, like moving forward.
Does Meyer concern you at all?
Yeah.
Just because every year it seems like he gets shut down with something, you know. And some guys in all sports just have that, like, buzzard's luck, and they're just, like, always hurt. And it just seems like, unfortunately, it's another year where he goes down.
It does, because it's hurt his, like, kind of climb.
Yeah.
You know, even though we got here this year with everybody else, but it was like when everybody else finally got the AAA last year and were, like, competing and playing at high levels, well, like, he was hurt.
He's missed so many at-bats
and,
you know, just development time in the minor leagues.
Yeah, and you know, you see guys from, like, well, this guy was in Meyer's class. He's already in the big leagues. Why isn't Marcelo? Well, that guy played 130 games for 2 or 3 years in a row.
Yeah, Jackson Merrill. I mean, yeah, that's the,
like,
big example.
For years in a row, and you're playing 75, you're just missing those ABs at the next level. So for him, yeah, there's a little bit of a concern. I mean, it's kind of fluky things, but this is one of the things with prospects. Either they could come up and not be good. They could be injury prone. You know, it's just a lot of different things. He's obviously shown what he can do.
It's just
kind of trying to see if he can keep him healthy.
All right. Lou Merlone, thanks for helping out last night, today.
Yeah.
These last 15 years, all the help over the years. We appreciate it.
What do we got, 4.9? That's the goal.
That's the number we're circling.
That's the one we're chasing.
We're all around it.
And thank you to you guys, because I know this is very, very important. You guys are fantastic. Great job today.
Thank you very much.
Continue to donate toll-free, 877-738-1234, online, jimmyfund.org, or you can text to give any amount by texting KCANCER to 56512. We're going to check in with Lucas Giolito of the Red Sox as we wrap things up here on Jones and Keefe. Day two of the 23rd annual WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon, presented by our Bella Insurance.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
This rolls on next. We're wrapping things up, Jones and Keefe, here on day two, but the 23rd annual WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon will continue with WEEI Afternoons at 2 o'clock, right through Red Sox pregame and the Red Sox and the Orioles, of course, tonight on WEEI. You see the total there, $3,753,057.
Wow.
Which, again, the total last year was excellent, $3.9 million. The all-time record, $4.9 million from 2008, Keith. That's a long time ago.
A long time.
But with your help, I think that's within reach. So, again, donate toll-free, 877-738-1234, online, jimmyfund.org, or you can text KCANCER to 56512 to give any amount. And we're going to be joined here momentarily, as he's walking in now, by Lucas Giolito of the Boston Red Sox. It's interesting talking to Lou.
Yeah,
and we just wrapped up with Lou Merlone a few moments ago to hear him and just say, oh, well, you know, the guys come into – either one is fine where guys come in and, well, it starts at spring training.
Yeah.
They learn about it when they first get here, and it's something that the guys still buzz about after that Jimmy Fund trip down to Fort Myers So as mentioned, joining us now, Lucas Giolito of the Boston Red Sox joining us here. Thanks for coming on and joining us here on day two. We appreciate it.
Good. Yeah. How are you doing, guys?
We're doing great.
Doing great. Let me real quick.
Yes.
Rob Bradford was on with us earlier. He told me you said you'll get a baseball isn't boring tattoo if you guys win the World Series. How did he rope you into
why
that?
Not?
I don't know.
He's
rolling
like half a baseball, I think. It's not just you. It's like a
he's
lot.
He's got everybody.
It's a lot of people, I think. Yeah.
He loves his branding. yeah, he did it with Joe Kelly, who's a former teammate of mine when the Dodgers won. And then he extended the offer to me. And I said, yeah, why not?
Okay.
I'll do it.
Do you get to pick the placement, or does he pick the placement?
I'll probably pick the placement.
Okay, very good. Yeah.
You guys could get like Thelma and Louise style tattoo. Oh, he's already got one.
Rob's already got one.
Yeah. That's a good point. I guess he doesn't need another one. Well, you're here in year two with the Boston Red Sox. What have you come to learn about the telethon, the Jimmy Fund, and the Red Sox and your involvement there?
Yeah, I mean, how big it is, how cool it is, for us as players to be able to utilize our platform for a great cause in the Jimmy Fund, how much it means to this organization, the city, all the people here, all the great work that's done to help fight cancer. It's just great to be a part of.
What's that spring training visit like when all the kids come down to Fort Myers and you get to spend some time with them?
Oh, it's great. Yeah, it really kind of, puts things into perspective for us. We get to play this game for a living. It's a kid's game at the end of the day. It's a sport. It's high pressure. Stakes are high. But any time that we get to spend time with the kids and kind of realize, that what we do, we're very used to it. It's at our job at times. It's very fun, but to be able to, kind of share that with the kids and make their day in any way possible. It makes it very important.
It's one of the many areas where the money can go to help that funds or helps fund the Jimmy Fund trip every year down to spring training, 877-738-1234, online jimmyfund.org, or you can text to give any amount by texting KCANCER to 56512. It's the easiest way to do it, just to text away, again, about $3.7 million, more than that, and counting here today on day two. You guys have dropped the last couple of games, but comfortably, compared to last few years anyway, comfortably in a playoff spot. How has this year been going for you guys, and how do you feel down the stretch going into hopefully a postseason run?
Yeah, it's been good. I think that it's been a super formative year compared. Last year I wasn't involved. I was kind of watching from afar, and I saw a bunch of our young talent developing at the big league level, taking some big steps forward, and then this year it's even more so. We've had more additions. I like the kids have come up and made huge impacts. The returning guys, continuing to make big leaps forward, talking about being part of starting rotation. I'm just so happy for, and I'm so impressed with Brian Baio, his development. He's really turned into a true top of the line starter for us. For me, is kind of like an older guy. It's crazy. I have to say that now, but it is that way, especially on this team with all of our young talent. Just to be a part of, the excitement, be a part of, just a really overall talented team in many facets. Hopefully we have a really good core to make a playoff run this year and then years in the future.
For being out last year, like you said, watching it. Do you appreciate it more now, or do you view it a little bit differently, getting the ball every fifth day after, what happened a year ago?
It's so much more fun. Being able to actually contribute and be a part of the team. When I signed here, I signed to give this team quality innings, be a reliable starting pitcher that can go deep into games, help out with the bullpen, and give us good chances to win. And I wasn't able to do that last year. The entire year, I'm out rehabbing my elbow. So it definitely left a lot to be desired. So now this year, actually being a part of the team for real, helping us win, as we continue to push towards the playoffs, it's been a lot of fun, especially doing it here in Boston.
Seems like every pitcher, though, is – inevitably out for like a season. Is that something like you and other pitchers talk about? Like, hey, if you've had four good seasons in a row, like it's kind of coming at some point. It's almost nobody can avoid it. It seems like.
Yeah, there's a few guys and the guys that, you know, their elbow just lasts forever and they never have a major injury. It's like you're a unicorn now in today's day and age of pitching. I think just so much is demanded of us. Velocity has become more and more important. Guys are going out there ripping stuff as hard as they can because you have to if you want to get outs at this level. So, it's kind of become a rite of passage, getting a Tommy John surgery or getting, you know, something done. Unfortunately, that's the way it is, but that's the way it is. Yeah. So you're kind of right. Like, at some point, there's always that period where it's like, okay, time to get this fixed up.
Yeah.
Luckily, the science and the medicine is so advanced now to where the, you know, return to play with, you know, the same level of stuff and feel, it's getting more that way. You know, there's complications every once in a while, but for the most part, it's just you gotta, you know, fight back from whatever injury it is.
Well, the rite of passage is an interesting way of putting it. I know Keith is chomping at the bit for some non-baseball questions, so I'll give you one kind of in the middle, because you said something that jumped out. We watched the Clubhouse on Netflix, and you even said at one point, like, you feel like you're on the team, but you're kind of separate from the team, working out and rehabbing on the side. I guess, what was the experience like last year, kind of having your every move, the team's every move filmed on Netflix? What was that experience like for you and the team?
I thought it was cool. You know, I wish we were doing it this year compared to last year. I it's more exciting, more fun storylines. But in general, I thought they did a great job. I didn't mind it too much. Again, I wasn't playing, so, you know, I wasn't asked like, hey, can you put a mic on when you go out and pitch or anything like that? I know other guys were asked to do that, and, you know, depending on the player, some guys are more comfortable than others, but, overall, I feel like the participation was good. You know, kind of painted a pretty solid picture of like what we go through as players and, on field, off field. So, yeah, I thought it was a cool experience.
All right, I know you're a huge movie and TV fan. What's the best thing you've watched recently?
Best thing I watched recently was Andor.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm a big Star
Wars. You're speaking fantastic. His language. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, amazing.
I'm a big Star Wars fan. And I got away from it over the last few years. I was a little disappointed when Disney took over Lucasfilm, LucasArts, and I didn't like the movies they did at all. All three of them I thought were terrible. And then they put out a few series. Mandalorian, I wasn't a big fan of. Some of the other stuff I wasn't into. And so I was kind of sleeping on the Andor series. I actually saw Rogue One in theaters, and I was like, oh, they did a good job with it.
Yeah, that was very good.
This is a good movie. But I didn't even know anything about it. And I set up a Disney Plus subscription. I'm like, what's this Andor? Oh, this is the guy from the Rogue One movie.
Yes.
And I started watching it and I was like, oh my God.
That's amazing.
Like,
it's amazing.
It's the best writing, best character development in all of Star Wars, like the entire universe combined, in my opinion. If it wasn't a Star Wars show, it'd be like, wow, this is like top tier Emmy television. And it, even being a Star Wars show, it is that, delving into, you know, the politics, delving into, you know, all the stuff like pre Luke Skywalker was really cool.
I'll explain it to you later, Joe.
Yeah, I am going to need an explainer.
It's a Star Wars show without lightsabers.
Okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like it'd be good, but it's amazing.
Yeah, that was
not the greatest pitch.
Yeah. No, that was the one thing when I started the show, I read online, there's no lightsabers here. And I was like, oh, that's kind of a bummer. But after like 3-4 episodes, I was completely locked in.
Fantastic.
Brad Foe, because he's a gossip. So you're a Severance guy?
Yes.
Okay. That's one that I watch. He got me into that show. That is a pretty good watch as well. Well, Lucas Giolito, we appreciate the time jumping on. Thank you so much for doing so, and best of luck this season.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys.
Thank you, sir.
We got Red Sox and Orioles game 2 here tonight. That'll do it for Jones and Keith.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.